If y'all would begin to go ahead and find your seat, we're going to get started. I got a four-hour sermon, so y'all might want to get you a glass of water or something. We might leave here this afternoon about 4:30, you know. Has anybody ever had supper at the Piccadilly instead of dinner? I'm joking. I'm going to let you out in a little while. It's good to see all you guys hugging one another and fellowshipping. It's good. Is God good or what? Aren't we supposed to love one another? If you don't believe that, then look around and see people loving one another. We do love one another. Now, you know, Pastor Terry asked me to teach today, and so I'm going to come teach to you. I got a sermon that God gave me. And I think it's a needed word for this time that we're living in. How many of you know that we need the favor of God on our lives? We need the favor of God. We need to hear from God in the days that we're living in. And that's exactly what I'm going to talk about today, about the favor of God. And I'm going to challenge you. And I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you better listen. Because there will be a test immediately after this. And guess who's going to give the test? God's going to give the test, not me. I'm bad at tests. I don't even like to grade them. I definitely don't like to take them. But there's a test in everything that we do. And when we listen to the Word of God, immediately after that, God wants to see how we're going to respond to what we heard, to see if we're really doers of the Word. So I'm going to challenge you today. This is going to be something that will change your life if you will let it. If you will start doing what I'm talking about today, when you leave this building, you're going to be a different person. I don't care how long you've been a Christian, God will change some things in your life. There are different degrees of favor that we need to know. We started out with the favor of God when we first got saved. Does that make a difference in our lives? Yes. Do we need to act different? Yes, we do. But there's different degrees, and God's bringing us to a new level of listening to Him, from receiving from Him, for doing the Word of God. There's some things out there that even pastors, even theologians don't understand that's going on. Only God does. And I believe that He's going to speak to His children to let them know what's coming down the pike in the next few years. Because He what? Loves us. He loves us. He's not going to leave us stranded out there, just lost as a goose about things. He has a plan for every one of us and a purpose. But He also has favor for us if we will but receive it. In fact, let's pray before I start. Father in heaven, I come to You right now, Lord God, and I thank You for the opportunity. Lord, I'm humbled, I'm honored by standing behind this pulpit today, Lord God, to challenge Your children, Lord. And Lord, as I come to bring this message, Lord, I ask for the power, the anointing of the Holy Ghost to speak through me today. Let Your word permeate every heart that's here. Let every ear hear what's being said. And let every heart receive what's being told today. Father, I thank You. I love You. And I thank You, Lord God, for Your favor today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I got something I want to read you. I want you to listen to this very closely. It says, to favor means to give special regard to treat with goodwill, to show exceptionally kindness to someone. Sometimes it means to show extra kindness in comparison to treatment to others. And it also means one favored is shown kindness, treated with a generosity and a goodwill far beyond what would normally be expected. That's favor. That's favor. That's what God does for us. This is generally the favor that we receive from the Lord. We are treated much better than we could expect. How many of you can relate with that? You know, God treats us a lot better than what we expect. Most of the time He treats us and we don't even realize it till it's said and done. And then we look back and say, oh my gosh, God was in that. God protected me. God blessed me when I needed that. God has done something good in my life, and all I needed to do was open my eyes and see what was going on. But I missed it. I don't want to miss it again. You see, when we go into the thing wide open, with our ears open and our eyes open, and we begin to look for the things that God's got for us with expectation. Did you come here today expecting something to happen in your life? If you did not, the odds are you're not going to get anything. I get up every day and pray, Lord, I'm going to use my bed as my altar. And I'm the living sacrifice that's on this bed. And I want you to open up the doors and I want you to put me where you want me to go. Protect me. Use me. Let your words be my words. And God, I want to go and I want to touch somebody the way that you would today. See, that's a living, holy sacrifice that's required, by the way, of every person that's in this room today. That we need to come to that place and realize this is who I am. I'm more than just somebody that's got my name written down in heaven and on some church roll on my letter, whatever that is. I am who God made me. I have a reason. I have a purpose. I have things to do, and I need to be busy about my Father's work. Amen? Amen. See, the favor of God was on Jesus Christ. That's why He did what He did. People saw that. When they saw Jesus, they knew that something was exceptionally different about Him than any other person. They followed Him. That's why when He went to the boat and told Peter, He said, follow Me. I want you to stop fishing. I want you to give up your family. I want you to give up everything. I want you to come and follow Me. How many of you got that call before? Two? All of us got that call. If you're a born-again Christian, He came. You might not have had a boat just fishing out of, but He came to your door one day and knocked on your heart and said, come and follow Me. And when He says that, He means that. He doesn't mean, let's go for a couple of weeks. We're going to do this. We're going to try this thing out. And if you like it, if you're pleased with it, then I'll be pleased with it. My Bible says that we give up our lives when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not even our own anymore. We belong to Him. And now that's scary sometimes because we look at it like, well, what kind of life am I going to have? Well, I want to tell you, you'll have the best life you've ever had in your life. All of your desires and all of your fulfillments will be fulfilled if your will is His will. His favor will come upon you and change your thinking. It'll change your thought life. It'll change your actions. It'll change where you go, what you do, and how you do what you do. Because you'll know that it's not your journey. It's His journey that's working through you. Amen? It says, every believer is favored in some degree. Every one of us. When you got born again, you were favored in a certain degree of that. But it says also that we must understand that God's favor is in degrees. That's that deeper relationship. How many of you have a deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ today than you did when you first got saved? Every one of us. You know why? Because we grew into that. We started. We were like a baby. We couldn't walk at first. We were crawling. We were hearing, but we were crawling. We couldn't speak, but we learned how to speak. We learned how to one day pull over to the coffee table and get up to it. We learned how to take that first step. We learned how to do what we were doing as baby Christians. And now we're at a place where God wants to use us in mature things. If you were here last week, you saw some very mature things happening. God was here and moved. How many of you got touched last week in a special way? How many of you got touched supernaturally that you know when you left here that you had been to church? You had been in a degree that you have not been in a while because you sensed the presence of God. You sensed the favor of God because He was here and it drew you to that place. Not only did He heal you and set you free, but He's moving in your life and He's saying, come, I want to make you hungrier. I want to have a deeper relationship with you. When I do speak, that you will be sure that you hear me. When I look at something, I want you to look at what I'm looking at. Amen? That we got to come to that place, a deeper relationship. We please God the more we will be favored by Him. And listen to this now. It's very important. Because usually when you say favored, it's like, wow, my pocketbook's fixing to get fat. How many of you ever thought that? Has nothing to do with material things. It has things to... Now, that can happen. I mean, everybody I ever read about that was in the Bible that was favored of the Lord, they had bigger cattle, fatter cattle, had sheep, they had camels. They had everything that you could have and an abundance of it. But the main thing was a relationship with God in their lives. It's most likely that we'll be given spiritual blessings more than material blessings. Because God can do something great in your life. There was a time in my life where I thought I pretty well had it made. I had money, I had homes, I had cars, I had everything. It's like, well, I don't need God. Until one day I was blind, and then God totally healed me, and He saved me at the same time. Not only was I physically blind, I was spiritually blind. And the greatest favor, I guess you can say, that God ever did was me to open my spiritual eyes and let me see, buddy, you're in a real world. We serve a real God. And if you're going to get on the program, you're going to have to get saved. And I got saved. And I've been messed with. I will never be the same again. Because I'm not looking for material things. I look to my God for the spiritual parts of my life. Because He is in control. And when He is in control, it will change your walk. It'll change your talk. It'll change where you go and where you don't go. Amen? And it's important that we go there. If the material blessings come along, just give God the glory. Give Him the thanks for it. You know, I look around at my house and I got things I never asked for. I never worked for. It just came. It's just there. Y'all know most of my testimony. I'm not going to go through that. But everything that I got there came from the Lord. And I know it. And I am favored of the Lord. And so are you. Amen. Finding the favor. I want you to listen to the scripture. This is Psalms 101. Put this on your refrigerator when you get home and look at it every day this week and say, how close am I to this scripture? Do I have these attributes that I'm fixing to read in my life every day? Am I really doing what God wants me to do? I want you to listen to this. It says, I will sing of mercy and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. That's a mature heart, is what that means. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall not depart from me. I'm sorry, a perverse heart shall depart from me, and I will not know wickedness. See, when we come to that place in our lives and say, I want my eyes, whatever they look at, to be what God wants me to look at. If there's any wickedness around me, I want that to go. And when I see somebody fall because of the things of this world, because they don't know who they are and they don't have a reason or purpose, I hate what happened to that person. Not that person. I hate what happened to that person. Are y'all hearing me? See, we need to come to that way because a mature church, it's not about us. It's not about me. It's about other people. That is part of what God wants us to do, is to touch other people, to get those people out of that place that they're living in, to pull them out of the gates of hell, that wickedness that's burning them, killing them on a daily basis. That's what God puts in our hearts. And that is what pleases God, by the way, when we start doing what He says to do. I want you to listen to this. It says, once we have the favor of God through salvation, does it matter how we act? Yes. It does matter how we act. It matters in what we do. Our whole life ought to be to show God's glory. And when we show God's glory, we see the favor coming. You can look around, and not only is it coming, it'll chase you down. I have seen literally the favor of God come and chase me down and bless me sometimes when I least expected. It was like, what happened? What was all that about? I wasn't even thinking about that. And all at once, God just came and just dumped a lot of blessings on me. More than I can even receive sometimes. And when that happens, you know what I do? I take it and go give it to somebody else. Here, you take some of this. I can't handle it all. Amen? The Bible responds with a yes. And it also says, He gives us numerous examples of godly lives to consider. When He comes and says, follow me. Like He did the fishermen, the tax collectors. See, two words that totally changed their lives. It revolutionized everything in their life. Two words, follow me. And they sold their boats and they packed up and they started following. He went to a tax collector that was cheating people. He said, follow me. He took the money, he blessed the people, he left it, he started following Jesus. See, we need to come to that place and remember where we came from. When did Jesus come to you and say, follow me? and I will make you fishers of men. I will use you for my glory. I will use you, and if you'll let me do that, then I will give you favor. I will bless everything you put your hands to. You'll see it prosper. Another thing was, he said, listen to me. Listen. Over and over, Jesus says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Now, I see people all the time that say, man, I hear voices a lot of times in the middle of the night. And I go somewhere and I hear voices. And I said, tell me what they say. What they say. Do they glorify God? No, they don't glorify God. They try to kill me. They try to do things in my life. I said, you know what? You're not in the favor of God. You're walking in your own strength. And that's the enemy telling you those things, trying to steal, kill, and destroy your life. You're on a wrong plane. You need to come to that place where you start listening to God and let God teach you what to do. Another thing he said, watch and see what's going on. Watch. You know, last week we had Brother Bruce here. For you that weren't here, were not here, had people up here everywhere. We got a chair and put it out here, and God was literally doing miracle after miracle. And we told everybody, turn the lights up. I wanted people to come and gather around and look at it with your own eyes. You don't have to close your eyes and pray. Sometimes you just need to open your eyes and watch what God is doing. And I was watching legs grow out. I was watching, my wife was healed with a deaf ear. We had checked on a hearing aid for one ear. It was like, what, $8,000 or something? And it's like, oh my gosh, we don't have that kind of money. I didn't even have enough faith to believe God for it, believe it or not. But you know what? God just healed her ear right there. You know, I don't even have to scream in her anymore. I don't do that. She wasn't that bad of hearing. She could hear good out of one ear. But now I can say, Janice, can you hear me? And she says, yes, I do. Get me some biscuits and eggs. Watch. Another thing Jesus told us to do was obey. He said, he that hears, let him obey. Let him obey. Be obedient to the things of God. When you hear the voice of God, that still small voice inside of you, tell you to do something. Go here, go there, tell this one that. Fix this, make something, give that person. Those are simple things. But if we don't do them, we can't be trusted in little things. I call those little things. If I do the little things, God can trust me with greater things. And I have found myself many times going down a street. The Spirit of God will say, turn right here and go down that street. And I'll turn. I'll go down that street. And it's like, okay, I'm looking. I go down there. It's a dead-end street. I come back out, get back on the road. Nothing happened. I didn't see nothing. I just get back on the road, and I go down the road where I'm supposed to be going. A couple of times I did that, and they had a car wreck right where I would have been if I had not turned off of that road with fatalities in it. And I'm obedient to what God says do because it's important. I'm building a car for a guy right now. I'm supposed to be helping him build a car. It's an $80,000 car. I got it at my house. I sent it to the paint shop the other day, and they put the trunk on it, and they didn't latch it. And it had no hinges. They just set it where it was supposed to go, a little hopped-up sports car. And they brought it back, and the guy was putting it off the trailer, and he was driving it back, and another guy was standing on that side of the car looking, and I wasn't even going to go outside because I was preaching, and I don't fool with nothing when I'm preaching. And I was sitting in my recliner studying the Word of God, and it was like God says, get up and go out there. So I got up, put my shoes on, started walking. I got around, and as soon as I came back where they were backing off, I pulled around there, and the guy was backing the trailer off, and the trunk fell off of it and was going under the car, and he was fixing the back right over. Now, that may not mean much to you, but that little car, they don't make them anymore. And if you had to buy a piece for it, there's no telling where you get it and how much money it would cost. But I did the only thing I knew to do. I saw it happening, and I could see it, and I just hollered. I said, stop! Just as loud as I could, and everybody looks around at me. And I said, stop, don't move. They didn't even realize they were fixing the back over the trunk. Now, that may not mean much to you, but it's a little thing. Yeah. How many things do God tells us to go stop somebody from doing something that may take their life? It may endanger them. They may be doing something they shouldn't be doing, and they need somebody to look at it from a blind side that they don't see. And they can tell that person, don't do that. or do this or do that. Turn down this road or turn down that road. Because it's important for us to save people's lives. Amen? That's what being a Christian is all about, is to help other people. And part of that is being obedient to the small things that comes along. When we do those, God will give you a greater thing to do. And as you begin to do that, you'll see God do some great things. Noah responded to God by walking with Him daily. Noah, 120 years he walked with God, told Him, it's a flood coming. Y'all better get your act together. Repent. Get on the boat. This is where we're going. He did that for 120 years over and over and over. He lived by His word. Noah got a vision from God. God told him what to do, and he did it. He lived by that word every day for those 120 years that he preached the gospel. Get on the boat. There's a flood coming. They didn't know what rain was. They didn't know what flooding was. And God only knows they didn't know what a boat was, because they were 70 miles from any kind of sea that you could float a boat on. But he told them, get ready because it's coming. Get ready. See, we need to get the Word of God in us, and we need to live by that daily. How many of you eat something every day? Most of us eat probably breakfast, lunch, supper, and lots of things in between. But if we can do that in the natural, how much more do we need to do that in the spiritual? That we need to eat the Word of God. We have a spirit man living inside of us that needs to be fed. This outside thing, it gets well fed. But the inside is what is important. And that's the part that we really need to fill up. It says, listen carefully to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, I want you to listen to this. The Holy Spirit is talking to you every day, every minute, every second. But are we listening? We'll miss it. Because the Holy Spirit will teach you, and He will show you things, and He will bring it to pass if we will just but listen to it. He's speaking every day. And He's there to keep you out of trouble. He's there to teach you of things to come. That's what Jesus said in John 16. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes, He's come to teach you, to guide you, and show you things to come in the future. He will bring love. He will bring peace. He will bring joy. If you will just listen to Him, He will bring all these things to you. For those of us who believe, that means not only making Scripture a vital part of our lives, but also learning who God is and what He likes. Have you ever just thought about, what does God like? You know, man, I like hamburgers and chocolate malts, French fries. I like to just sit down on the porch sometime and just do nothing. I like to get on my four-wheeler sometimes and just ride off in the woods and do nothing. But how many times do we stop and say, God, what do you like? What do you like? What are your likes? What is your, basically, His will? And His will is for us to be saved. His will is for us to be healed. His will is for us to be delivered. And His will is that He favors us. And if that's true, then we need to study those things so we will know what pleases God. What He likes, because He will be well pleased if we'll come and make that connection, that deeper relationship with Him. When we come and say, God, it's not my will, but Your will be done. God, if that pleases You, I want to get involved in that. God, if You want me to go here, then I want to do that. I want to go because if it's going to please You, I'm going to be happy. And I found out just in the natural, when my wife is upset at home, everybody's upset. When mama's mad, everybody's mad. When mama's sad, everybody's sad. Well, sometimes it's that way with God. Because we just go do our own thing. And God says, if that's what you want to do, just go ahead. You see, because we have a will, every one of us, and God will never override any of our wills. That is what's so unique about being a Christian. He will not come and take your will out of you and make you do something. He won't do it. If He did, we'd be like a puppet on a string. He would just tell us, go over here, now let's go back over here and just put you there because you're nothing. He gave us a will, a choice, if you will. We can choose to be out of God's will or we can choose to be in God's will. We can choose to have God's favor or we can choose not to have God's favor. It's up to us what we do. And it says Moses, despite initial protests, chose to obey the divine will of God. That's where he, you know, he came. God says, I want you to go. I want you to deliver the people. And Moses is there, and he was stuttering. I can't hardly say a word. I don't know if I'm the one that needs to go there. God says, I'm not going. He said, I'm just going to use your mouth. I will give you the words to say. And then he starts on this thing. Well, God, you know I killed somebody. There was an Egyptian here one day, and I killed him because he was harassing some of the Israelite children. So that disqualifies me. I can't talk, and I can't go because I killed somebody. And there's a lot of people that would probably do a better job than what I can do. So find out who they are, God, and just get one of those people. I'm not going. And y'all know the rest of the story. God appeared to him in a burning bush, and he showed him exactly what to do. And Moses did what God told him to do. There's that act of obedience to do what God says to do. Another thing is, it requires learning to think as he does. Learning to think the way God does means you got to get your Bible out, because that's his will, that's his testimony, that's his mind. And when we start doing those things, then we're getting plugged into what's going on, and we're finding out the mind of God. What God really wants us to do. And I'm sad to say, there's a lot of Christian churches today that people do not read the Word of God. Unless a big drama shows up, or something hard, or something that looks impossible, then we go to praying. Then we go to getting Scriptures out. We start listening to what God's saying. And I know that's the same as everywhere. I used to be the same way. If everything was cool, calm, and collected, I'm all right. I know some of the Scripture. I know enough to get me by. I know John 3:16. I know the Romans road to salvation. I can quote a lot of the books in the Bible. I know a lot of that kind of stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, it's just like praying. You'll pray like that too, unless something has come on, a drama in your life or a really hard thing. And I'm going to tell you what, we quit praying King James prayers. We start saying, oh God, help me through this. Y'all ever been there before? You know, God, if you'll just do this. God, I'm sorry I haven't been praying. God, I'm sorry I haven't been reading the Word. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. God, intervene for me. Help me. Let's get, call the church. Call Brother Terry. Let's have a fast. I'm having a bad day. Somebody, do something. And it's like, why haven't we been doing that all along? We get the opportunity. We're not forced to do it. We get the opportunity to do those things, is to get on our face every day and begin to say, God, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord. I don't remember if I said this in this service, but I did in the first service. That when I get up in the morning, I use myself as a living sacrifice. And I say, God, my bed is my altar. I'm the sacrifice. I'm laying it before you today. I want you to put me where you want me to go today. I want you to let me say what I'm supposed to say. Let me make those divine connections with people that I'm supposed to do that with. God, my life is yours today. I'm a living sacrifice. You take me, you put me where you want me to go. Let me say what you want me to say. That's a good prayer for all of us, don't you think? That we need to do that on a daily basis. And when something comes around that would be shocking to you, it will look like very little stuff. It's like, you know what? It may be happening, but it doesn't matter because my God's in control. I just offered myself. And by the way, we're supposed to be dead to ourselves and alive to Him. And when that comes along, then we don't have to worry about things of this earth because we're under a different order. Amen? To have the mind of Christ. Paul lived with a single-minded focus on serving Jesus. Now, I know he wrote 2/3 of the Bible, but we are to have that same focus. We are to be serving Jesus every day. You say, well, Brother Ken, it's easy for you because you're a pastor on staff. You get paid. That's your job. Let me tell you something. I served Jesus before I ever came to this church. Before I ever went to any church, my focus was on serving God, period. I just happened to got moved into a building with people. But my focus was on serving God from the first day that I became a Christian. Janice would tell you, on the way home from the hospital, she was bringing me home. I was still blind at that time. God had already changed my heart and my life. And for the first time, I was trying to figure out, what can I do to help someone else? I'll never forget sitting in that hall at the hospital. They rolled me down there to do an x-ray on my eye. And I was sitting there feeling sorry for myself. Woe is me. Why did this happen to me? It could have happened to a dog. It could have happened to somebody else. Yeah. You know, I would get to those pity parties. And that's what I was doing. And I was sitting there waiting for them to open the door to give me an x-ray. And they come rolling down the hall with this guy in a wheelchair. And I kind of glanced at him first and I looked back. He had no arms. He had no legs. He was burnt all on his side like that. And they rolled him right up next to me and parked. We're both sitting in the hallway waiting for the x-ray room to open. And he said, "How are you doing? Are you having a good day today?" And he was smiling. I'll never forget that smile. And it's like, I am now. I am now. Because I just got showed out. You know, here I am with just one blind eye. And I can live and I can work and I can do what God wants me to do. And here's this guy who's got a lot more problems than what I got. But he's happy. Y'all hear what I'm saying? God extends His blessings to those who choose to believe. How much do you trust God? Listen to this scripture. It says this is about Mary. That when the angel Gabriel appeared to her, and he says, this is what he said. He says, said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. Highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Blessed. Highly favored. You know, here's Mary, a teenage girl that's never been with a man at all. And an angel appears to her and says, "Highly favored one. You're blessed above all women." And she's sitting there and she didn't make excuses. She didn't do anything. The only thing she says, I've never been with a man. How can this be? But she didn't refute the orders that was given to her. She took them and obeyed them and had Jesus. Simple things like that is what we need to look at and say, when God appears to me and He says, "You're blessed. I've given you this and I've given you that and I want you to do this and I want you to do that." We ought to be like Mary and say, "Wow, what an opportunity. This is not a job. This is a privilege. I get to do that. I'm honored, Lord, to go and to do what you tell me to do. Let it change my life, but let it change other people's lives too." I mean, the Messiah had been prophesied for years and years. And now Mary's going to usher him into the day and age that was coming right there. And thank God he's here now. Amen? But it's a matter of being obedient to the things of God. We find favor with our Heavenly Father through, listen to this, believing minds. We have to believe that God is, and He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. We have to believe that. If you don't believe that, you'll never find favor. You'll never find your joy. You'll never find your purpose in life if you don't believe. We've got to believe. And that word believe literally means to put your faith and your trust in it. You have to do that. You that tithe, you know that first time that you didn't have enough money to do anything with, but you gave some of it. And you watch God bless you. And you watch God's favor come on you. And you watch yourself grow. And you're very prosperous today because you made that step. You that was invited to the Lord one day in your life, you knew that you was a sinner, but you didn't want to give up what you were doing. And then all at once you come to that place and it's like, "Yes, Lord, I do want to change in my life." And you made that first step to go get saved, and you watched God's favor come on you and begin to prosper you. Your walk was prospered in everything that you did. There was a guy in the early service this morning. He came up here and he said, "I'm not sure if I'm saved or not, but," he said, "I want you to pray for me." And he said, "I want to be water baptized." Amen. See, that tells me he had already thought about all that before he ever came up here. He's ready to start taking steps to do what he needs to do to be in the kingdom of God. Amen? And we should do that too. But if we don't, confusion, deception, and other things will come and rob us of those things. And we'll sit right there and do nothing. And we'll never know what the favor of God is. We have to move. Another one is a responsive heart. And that's what a responsive heart does. When you hear it, start letting your heart do the walking. not your feet, but your heart. Say, that's a challenge for me. I'm going to go start, and I'm going to let my heart start walking, and my feet will catch up to it later on. But we got to be responsive. We got to do what God says. Another thing is have an obedient spirit in what we do. There's a lot of things that God's going to ask you to do, and you're not going to understand them. Don't even try to figure them out. Just start doing it. Now, don't be one of these nutcases that's on TV on the news where God told me to get a rifle and kill somebody. That ain't God. I'm going to just be point blank. God will never tell you to do nothing like that. God is a life giver. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? He's not a murderer. But if he tells you to do something, you just make an effort going that way. One thing I've learned through my Christian walk, if I'm moving forward and I fall down, at least I'm going somewhere. I'd rather fall on my face than I had fall on my rear end and not do anything. Amen? That's a good place for amen. Another thing he'll do, he won't let you... let me ask you this. It says, sometimes we need other people to tell us what we're doing because we need to see one another's blind sides. Ask somebody sometime, do you see me being blessed? Do you see God working in my life? Do you see the fruit of the Spirit in my life? Be honest and open. That's one thing that we're doing with the men's group right now. We're open and honest with one another. And we're asking one another those questions. And we're prodding one another to get involved in that way. That we'll know that we're in God's plan, that we're doing what God wants us to do. And sometimes we need other people to say, no, you're not. I don't see that in your life. I think there's some things you could probably change. And if it is, then we're open to changing. Amen? That's what being loyal to one another is all about. That's what accountability is all about. And we're trying to do that kind of stuff. It says, the secret of the Lord is for those who fear Him. And that word secret literally means the sweet and private closeness. And if I had to ask you today, do you have that sweet and private closeness? That there's times where you go turn the music off, you don't listen to radio, you don't listen to TV, you just go somewhere and close yourself off and be real quiet where you can hear God. You don't talk, you don't pray, you just sit there and you listen and you wait for that secret moment where God comes and He just begins to well up inside of you. And you say, oh man, you know, I got goosebumps just thinking about it right now. There's times I'll be driving down the road and the presence of God will just come on me. And I've literally had to pull off the road before and I'll just start weeping. Tears just gushing out of my eyes. I mean, it's not tears ever. It's a mess. But God's speaking to me. He's showing me something that I may be going through in a little while. Or I might have been through it already. But it's a victory. But the best part about it is that sweetness of knowing that as big as God is, and as much as He loves everybody, He took the time to visit you. He's showing His favor towards you. He's letting you know right then you're special. And I got something planned for your life. And if you'll just be quiet and let me talk to you, let me reach out and touch you. You know, when Bruce was here last week, we were talking about those things that God does. And I can remember one time sitting at my house in a recliner, just at one of those moments, and it was like somebody just brushed against my arm just like that, and I looked around and it wasn't anybody there, and I'm looking all over the room and it's like, what was that? So I put my arm back on the chair and I was sitting there and I felt it again. There's nobody in my house. And then all at once I felt like my spirit just left my body and went all the way up to the ceiling on the other side of the room. And I was over there looking back at myself. And it's like, oh my gosh, have I died? You know, what is that? Well, you know what that was? I believe it was an angel that just brushed me and showed me just a taste of what might be on the other side. And then when Bruce was talking about that truck falling on him, of how his spirit left his body and went over there, and it was peace and joy, no pain, no nothing, until he came back into his body. And that's when the pain started again. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I'm not trying to get mystical and crazy here. I'm just saying that we need to hear from God. We need to stop long enough. We as Americans, I mean, we drive too fast. We eat too much money. We don't read enough. And we don't do a lot of things that God wants us to do. We do what we want to do. But I want to challenge you, church. Let's start doing what He wants us to do. Let's find out what pleases Him and let's begin to do those. And when we do, this is some of the things that will come. Great peace will come on you. Great prosperity a lot of times. If it's not physical, and I believe they kind of work both the same way, but prosperity about knowing about spiritual things, that God will open your eyes like He did the Apostle Paul. The Bible says that the scales fell from his eyes and he could see in the spiritual realm about things that was going around. Another thing is your purpose in life will be magnified. You'll say, wow, this is what I'm here for. This is what God wants me to do. I'm here for a reason. I'm just not a bump on a log. God's got a plan for my life, and it's up to me to find out what to do. And your purpose will begin to blossom. Another thing is, He'll give you strength that you thought you never had. Strength. I'm talking about not only spiritual strength, but your physical health will get better. You'll understand that, hey, I'm wonderfully and beautifully made. And if I am, then I need to be strong. I need to treat this temple the way God says treat it, and I need to use it the way God says to do it. And your health will get better. I was telling my son yesterday about a couple that I prayed for at another church. They both came down and they were way overweight, both of them. Both of them had diabetes. They were sick. They had leg problems. They had everything. They were a wreck. And they came up there and wanted me to pray for them that they would get delivered from fat. It's like, this ain't going to be easy. But I'll tell you what you do. You quit eating. You start eating the right things. You start exercising. You get some help doing what you're doing. Get on a regular basis of doing it. Well, I went back to that church about 3 months after that, and I didn't even recognize these people. They come walking up to me. And they came up and told me, said, we're so glad that you're back. And I said, well, was you here the first time? Oh, yeah, we were here. And I said, well, what's your names? And they told me, and it's like, oh, my gosh. They're skinny as a rail, but they're healthy. But they both went back to the doctor, and neither one of them have diabetes anymore. They're healed. I mean, they're walking. They're doing what they're supposed to do. But there's a change in our life. You say, well, what you said was good. That's a good little word, Brother Terry. Kenny, you did a good job today. But if you go home and you don't do what I'm saying, you're not going to be a bit better off. We got to do something about it. And it's a change coming. Amen. How many of you really want a change in your life? You want to see something different than what you go through, the same old humdrum, you know? Brother Terry's been preaching about that spot in the ocean where there's no wind, there's nothing. You're just stuck there. Well, let's get out of there. There's things to do, and I think this is a challenging word for you. Nick, would you come on up, please? Another thing he'll give you is joy. You'll be excited to be here. You know, Miss Sarah Nell came in this morning, and I never ask women how old they are or how much they weigh. And I never do that. But she came in and she had a beautiful smile on her face. She was just radiant. And she was so glad to see me. Thank you, by the way, for being here. But it's like that radiance. You know, we ought to all have that. Why do we frown? Why do we cry? Why do we do what we do? Because if we got Jesus, we got everything. He will change your life. He will give you joy. He'll give you peace. He will make you healthy. And you'll be a happy person for the rest of your life. Now, we don't have classes to go to. If you want to get prayed for, if any part of this word touched you today and you want to come down here, I'm going to pray with you, and I've got other people that will pray with you. We'll do that. We're not going to keep you to 4 o'clock today, but we want to lay hands on you. We want to agree with you that you find your purpose in life. We want to agree with you that you ask for the favor of God to be on your life, that you can do and be what God wants you to be. And if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life, I want you to come and stand right there if you would. I want to just talk to you. You're not joining a church. I'm just going to lead you to the Lord, and we're going to let you go. Then you can come back and come. And if you want to join, that's fine later on. But I don't want you to leave these doors without knowing that Jesus Christ has had a part of your life today. And if you would everybody stand, please? And I want you, if you want to get prayed for, if you want to come down here and just be at that quiet time, just you and the Lord, and I want you to come. Just go ahead and start moving, even right now. Father, we thank you, Lord God. I'm going to pray for everybody while we're doing it. But I want you to come down here, and let's take it to real to the reality and say, yes, God, that's what I want. I want your favor on my life. I want to know when I go somewhere, that's where you want me to be. I want to seek your mind and your will in everything that I do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Glory to your name. And if you're here and you need to go, why don't you just quietly go on out the door. But if you want to be prayed for or come pray, I wish some of you would come and lay hands on these and let's pray for them. Thank you, Lord.
And trust Him in His presence daily. And I surrender all. And I surrender all. Oh, to Thee, my
Hallelujah. 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 Did you get blessed today? Why don't you just lift up your hands and just say, Lord, I want to receive today. I want to receive. I want to be blessed of you, God. I want your favor on my life, Lord. That everything that I do, Lord God, would be to glorify and lift you up, Lord Jesus. I thank you for life today. I thank you for the prosperity that you've given us. I thank you for the salvation that you've blessed us with, Lord. And Lord, I will be obedient to what you say to do. Give me ears to hear. Give me eyes to see what your Spirit is saying in these days to come. And Lord, I want your favor on you, on me, Lord God. I want to know that your favor is on me, Lord God, because I want a deeper relationship with you, Lord. in all of my life, Lord. And I love you and I praise you and I give you glory today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Tell somebody next to you, you're highly favored and blessed of the Lord.